Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Friends, it is the anniversary of J6. And I find myself feeling a little bit, like Francis Scott Key looking for the flag. Like during the Battle of Baltimore in 1812, our star-spangled banners, once again tattered and torn, besmudged by these traitors, by the ravages of an enemy intent on destroying our republic and bringing us into slavery. Let's remember our political prisoners. And then let's talk about the gavel battle. What does it mean? And why does Trump take a position against the leaders within his own MAGA movement and supports McCarthy? It is time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity. A gourmet meal for the mind.
You know, let's just zero in on the J6 Day of Infamy. That's what's really just on my mind and heart right now. What is the strongest word I can think of to express disgust? You know what the Beelzebub-driven Biden brigade did on that day is contemptible, repugnant, appalling. How about loathsome, ungodly, certainly nightmarish, unchristian, nauseous? I need a word. None of these alone satisfy, all taken together. Still, not quite. How about abominable or abomination? I believe that's closer, but I think the word that probably best encapsulate the travesty of this whole thing is treason. The United States government is being held hostage by foreign powers. Even worse, by an invisible enemy, the real invisible enemy, that have patiently, incrementally established agents embedded 3, sometimes 4 levels deep in our government bureaucracies, forming a network of strategically deployed anti-American operatives throughout the government, creating an alternate state, something we called years ago the shadow government. Today, we refer to it as the deep state. These agents utilize their power and influence to subvert efforts by honest politicians, statesmen, and they move to facilitate the malevolent policies of traitors, while slowly constructing an election fraud scheme, the likes of which, as Biden himself said, had never been seen in America. In the background, in a low-key fashion, they've managed by this to steal key elections along the way, to plant people in key positions like secretaries of state, district attorney's offices, governors, mayors, election officials, working to establish the Dominion machines and organize a system for election fraud cover-up using mail-in ballots and inflated voter rolls and so on, and fighting against common sense election integrity laws, you know, like voter ID, until finally these communists had everything in place they needed. And they were ready to pass Obama's treasonous terms of office to the Clinton crime family administration with Hillary at the helm, who would, no doubt, deliver the U.S. into the power of the CCP. But then Trump came down the golden escalator and the whole world, the whole deep state world, gasped. They had come too far to turn back now. And Trump, like Reagan before him, threatened to undo decades of planning. So a coup was launched against the people and their president. They pulled out all the stops, let me tell you, called in every favor, put Biden's boasted election fraud machine into full throttle, and flagrantly violating election rules under the cover of COVID, and doing so without due process, and in blatant violation of law, by the way, totally abandoning even any semblance of transparency or decency, and sometimes perpetrating this crime in full view of cameras. They came out into the open and they showed their hand. And we're witnessing the fruit of long planning, patient grooming, and positioning of assets in key places by the globalists connected with, you know, Schwab, you will own nothing and be happy, right? And his World Economic Forum, which is a front for the super-rich cabal, setting up and then marshalling the resources of the CCP, Soros, and Gates, with the willing participation of American government, complicit and government-made businesses and tech and so on. Yeah, I call it gov business, gov tech, gov pharma. And these are the they in this dark drama, whose work has been of decades-long construction, facilitated by rogue elements planted in the CIA, FBI, DOJ, DHS, DOD, NSA, using their election fraud machine, the Dominion-stealing machines. And ironically, the principal one of these machines is called Dominion. And they did this to stop the people's president and to set the Biden crime family, because they can control them, into position to continue the plan. But they are limping now. Creatures of darkness, you see, don't do well in light. God heard our prayers. Literally. Lighthouse Baptist Church, we prayed and fasted, specifically requesting that God would expose all this wicked stuff to the American people. I preached some sermons on it and everything. And at the time, I knew the elections were being rigged, or had a deep suspicion that they were, and that election fraud had got to a place where national elections could be tampered with. But I had no idea how deeply Satan had succeeded to reach into our government and take it into his power. Since then, Veritas began exposing Planned Parenthood. You might remember that. Selling baby body parts and everything else. And then watching the deep state react to Trump. You know, with their fake dossier, their fake impeachment efforts. What a joke. And their fake fact checkers. Give me a break. I mean, literally, faked. Followed by their faked pandemic and now their faked vaccines. And they've been openly exposed for the repeated lies to the American people about the origins of COVID, creating a faked study published in The Lancet, of all places, claiming hydroxychloroquine was not only ineffective against COVID, which was a lie, but even dangerous, which was even a more absurd lie. All of that, by the way, was proved fake. Retracted by three of its four authors, and the one holdout shamed, and the study itself retracted by Lancet. But Fauci and the liars of GovMed or GovPharma continued using that study to ban its use, costing millions of lives. The outright lies about ivermectin, now exposed, costing millions of lives. So added to all the people they killed with their nonsense about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, add the number they killed by provoking them to suicide. And now this fake J6 insurrection, it's possibly the most vicious of all the attacks on the America of our founders. All of these attacks I've described have been ultimately aimed at canceling the voice of the American people, shutting them up and sitting them down. And the faked J6, oh, come on. What's with the rolling eyes? Give me a break. When are some of you going to just go ahead and open your eyes and see what is right there in front of you? Anyway, I thought about taking the time today to lay out the entire case. The video of Capitol Police waving protesters into the Capitol. You haven't seen that one yet? Of Capitol Police firing flashbangs into groups of peaceful protesters that were behind the barrier set apart from the activity near the Capitol, who were doing absolutely nothing illegal or violent. You got Ash Epp, a social media personality, who guests often on Altman's Conservative Daily, testifies that she was attacked by Capitol Police, throwing flashbangs into the protesters where she was standing, and said that she's been hurt by this. She's been damaged by it. She watched these canisters being thrown into the faces of some of those standing there. This was a vicious attack on peaceful protesters, and said they were surrounded with cameras and wondered out loud, why did not one clip of that attack appear in media until June? How is that even possible if there isn't some kind of full court press collusion going on? While Ray Epps, and that now that's Epp with an S, for Satan, you've heard of him, Ray Epps, you know, the guy we see on video waving protesters into the Capitol, encouraging them by voice command, get on in there, get on, you know, right? The guy we learned from Twitter dumps had met with a known agitator the day before talking about the plan, who admitted to the J6 Pelosi committee that he orchestrated the event, who was on the FBI's top 10 most wanted in connection with the Capitol riots. And then, and I saw the picture, I saw it, and then without explanation, suddenly He disappeared from that list. No one told us how or why. And you still roll your eyes? Are you kidding? Look, at some point, folks, we're all just going to have to open our eyes and see what is in front of us. So let's look at Rebecca Lorenz, a Christian grandmother, 70 years old. She was waved into the Capitol by Capitol Police, and she went on in to pray. That's all she was doing outside, by the way, just praying with a group. And then she goes home. And later in June, you see what happened? She got crosswise with some politician in her county. And so there's some reason to think, huh? And suddenly she gets a notice to surrender to FBI custody in Denver because she was present at the J6 rally. So she appeared voluntarily, surrendered to the authorities. She was arrested. She's forced now to be looking at the possibility of jail time. A grandmother, 70 years old. But her manner of protest was to go there and pray. That's what she was doing, praying. She was not vandalizing property, attacking officers. She never resisted arrest. She voluntarily presented herself when demanded. And by the way, this is the same story with different details, but the same basic story of every J6 protester I've heard anything about. Big charge, trespassing. I don't know of any that have actually been charged with insurrection. If that's happened, I sure haven't heard about it, and I've looked for it. And the reason is simple. They don't have evidence to support a charge like that. So they use the Patriot Act, calling this an insurrection on the Capitol, to justify naming these people or branding them terrorists and holding them without bail, without even being charged with a crime. And in some cases, they're not even given the opportunity to speak with representation. They're held in isolation, a lot of them, and badgered into pleading to some bogus crime. My God, this is the stuff, the Siberia stories I heard in Russia. Armado, this is the CCP type of behavior. Very upset about this, and I think all of America should be. This isn't America. So look, the strategy of the J6 thing is multi-layered, I believe. First, I think it's a ruse to shift attention away from their own actual insurrection, the real one, the one that's going on right now by the deep state led by the Democrat Party, kind of color revolution taking place on our own soil right here in America, and all of it under the control and direction of CCP. Second, it's a threat to any patriot who might even think about open mass protests against the coup or against the establishment. It's probably the number one reason the Arizona protests fizzled. The leaders of conservatives were afraid that a J6 scenario would play out with FBI plants embedded within to agitate a riot they could use as an excuse or pretext to do a J6 2.0. I mean, literally, this. Talk to Joe Altman about it. Key leaders in the conservative movement told their followers, don't go to the AZ rally, specifically because they feared it was going to be a setup. In other words, Antifa and BLM can riot in the streets, burn down buildings, kill people, and walk around with assault rifles in the open, and it's all covered over by talk about right to protest, and because, after all, it was mostly peaceful. So, my friend, the message is obvious. Conservatives, don't you dare even think about massing in the streets in protest to what we're doing. That's it. Because if you do, you're going to be branded a terrorist. And if you think we were tough on the J6 protesters, you just watch what we'll do to you next. You know, right? That's what they're doing. And now that they know, the American people will cower, will kneel to our... That thing that happened in Arizona has far greater portents than just the fact, the disappointing fact, that people didn't show up en masse to make their voices heard. The implications are extremely serious. The message sent to our abusers and our oppressors is very clear. We won't do anything. The threats worked. Next, we're going to start extreme renditions, no doubt. Okay, remember last week's allusion to 1984? Remember that. O'Brien asks Winston, how many fingers am I holding up? And Winston replies in whimpering tones, 4. And if the party says there are 5, how many are there? In whimpering tones, 5. No, that won't do. You're lying. And then after further electrocution, jolts Winston, he's asked again, how many fingers, as he's holding 4 up? How many fingers, patriots? I don't care how many times a party tells me it's 5, I see 4. The only insurrection is the one being conducted against America right now, led by the Biden crime family. I see 4 fingers. not five. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
For many years, Satan had Christians deceived into believing they were not supposed to speak up on social or political issues. We bought the lie that we had no say, that the world belonged to Satan, and that we had no right to impose our morality onto others. This ruse worked so well that today the secularists impose their morality on all of us. Christians are being systematically pushed to the sidelines and denied their divinely endowed inalienable rights. This book exposes Satan's lies and shows the truth that the earth belongs to Jesus Christ, not Satan. In fact, Satan has no legitimate right to rule the earth. It belongs to the King, and his name is Jesus. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheibach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, and anybody that would steal from us our liberties, and pray for my voice to be strong for church tomorrow. Let's take a look into the gavel battle. Today is the fourth round of votes, and I think McCarthy is about four votes away from the gavel, at least at my last look. As of Friday, 1:02 p.m., he has lost 13 tries, but has crept to within inches of the gavel he covets. The last time there was a serious challenge to the speakership was back in the 1800s, and I understand that Congress voted 100 times before they gave up and changed the rules to allow the highest vote-getter to get it. Many hoped the conservatives would be able to prevail over the system, over the establishment control. The will of the party over the will of the people. Remember Orwell's 1949 novel. It was titled 1984, where one of my all-time favorite actors, and I mean for acting ability, Richard Burton, as O'Brien, demands of his subject, ironically named Winston, which means joyful stone, but that's not the irony. Perhaps metaphorically, he was named for the English leader who stood firm against Nazi Germany in World War II, Winston Churchill. And now, so many years later, the future, Winston Churchill is on that rack, right? 4 years after the war, Orwell cast a vision for the rise of a Nazi-like regime dominating the world, and he titled it 1984. It looks like he missed it by that much. The stakes in this battle for the gavel are not being laid out clearly, in my view. Look, McCarthy has never been a leader. He's a fair follower, a team player, a type personality that is eminently influenceable. It's not a word, but you get my meaning. My experience with people like this is that no deal you make with them is going to hold them if a better deal is offered later. If the conservatives have to bind this guy with written concessions in order to feel comfortable he's going to do what's right, really, just quit playing games here. We're all bored with this nonsense, this game playing that the Republicans do. The fact is, some representatives are deeply suspicious that Kevin McCarthy is just another rhino, maybe a bit more pliable regarding some of their concerns, but at the end of the day, McCarthy is not, I don't believe he's going to charge the gates of hell that have encircled our embattled liberties. He simply doesn't have the Winstons. Here's what the conservative Republicans are being pressured by their constituency to resist. The amazing capacity for the Republicans to lose after they win. And McCarthy is the man the left desperately hopes will get the gavel, and not Jeffries or Jordan or someone who is a real fighter, because McCarthy will be the easiest to work with. Here's what concerns me about McCarthy. I'm afraid he's going to go along with the J6 committee hearing. He'll put on a really good dog and pony show. But I think behind the scenes, he's going to be undermining every effort to get down to real results like he did Trump. While Trump was in office, he's going to find a way to excuse poor Nancy from testifying. Or he'll try. He won't allow real pressure to be put on subpoenas being enforced. He's going to allow the Dems to introduce rules that are going to hinder interrogation. Back deals will be made to reduce the effect of hearings to a slap on the wrist or, you know, yeah, we'll do some kind of censor of some sort. We'll offer a speech about how democracy was threatened, but now we fixed it, and all that nonsense. And if you expect the McCarthy-led House to go for any meaningful prosecutions for FBI malfeasance, DOJ, CIA, and DOD, and NSA malfeasance, dereliction of duty, any, or even get close to charges of treason, you better not hold your breath. It's not even certain, in my view, that the J6 prisoners will get an honest vindication for what happened to them under this guy. I hope I'm wrong. It'll be fuzzy, compromise, wishy-washy, but the people are, or at least should be, very angry with all of this and done with it. We're waiting for justice to come down hard on these perpetrators in the FBI, the DOJ, the DHS, NAS, or NSA, I'm sorry, DOD, all of them. And all the nonsense with co-opting social media to run a government censorship propaganda program that's been, all the conspiracies being vindicated by the revelations coming out of Twitter. The whole vaccine debacle, I don't see McCarthy being the leader for that sort of fight, the kind of fight we're in for. And yet, that the last I heard, the opposition is dwindling. It has shrunk to only, I think, four holdouts. If that's true, I didn't vet the rumor, but if it's true, it's probably over. With regard to that particular, the battle isn't over, the war isn't over, excuse me, but that battle will be. If McCarthy has gotten to within four votes, they're likely to go ahead and cave in. They shouldn't, but they will likely cave to the pressure. And if it's that close, well, and they don't cave, it's possible McCarthy can recruit a few Democrats to flip his way to take it. At least that's what Gates is concerned about. I understand most of the resistance has already caved, and that Matt Gaetz has said out loud that he's going to resign from Congress if Democrats help elect a moderate Republican. What? Now, I don't know. There must be something in the water up there that produces brain fog, or that numbs those parts of the brains that, you know, form or support common sense. I'm trying to figure out how this threat scares Democrats away from voting for McCarthy. Wouldn't that sort of be a twofer for them? He plowed GOP money, campaign money, in just the races that it seems were calculated to counter GOP momentum in the 2022 midterms. I think the lackluster leadership that we've seen, making him susceptible to being played by more clever men, or as exposing him as being so committed to party politics, he blindly ignores the will of the people, or he's on the other side. He's a deep stater. And he doesn't want a major upset of the status quo. So, whatever he is. Controlled opposition? Just like McConnell? Anyway, under pressure from some never-Trumpers, remember McCarthy talked about encouraging Trump to resign. On and on it goes. You've got to give me a break. So, why would Trump endorse McCarthy? Now, we've all watched Trump. And while it is clear he has a stellar record of achievements, I mean, who knew the border was an easy fix? Yeah, that America, just build a wall, that America could assert itself on the world stage with such amazing success, or generate a peace deal for the Middle East that was unprecedented, even after moving the U.S.-Israel embassy to Jerusalem. My eyes are still blinking in wonder over that one. He showed us we don't have to be in endless wars. We can have a strong economy, oil independence. We can even tamper down hostilities with many of our enemies, put China in her place, get NATO to pay their fair share. I mean, who knew? Trump showed us we don't have to live like this, from crisis to crisis, manipulated by these deep state globalists, at least until COVID, where they managed to maneuver POTUS into a box. And when it comes to why he endorsed McCarthy, I figured if there was anyone who could provide an apology for this, it would be the X-22 guy. I mentioned him before. It would be relatively easy for me to take the X-22 guy, Dave Mipipsud. I don't know how to say his last name. He never says it clearly. It would be easy for me to take his take on why Trump endorsed McCarthy, except for a recent statement he made about why the red wave went flat, you know, from a Hawaii tsunami to a Boca Chica trickle. Boca Chica is where we went to learn how to surf. Huntington's where you went when you got it figured out. And Hawaii's where you went when you really got good. But anyway, let me give you the X-22 Q-Man's take on this. By the way, I like David. I listen to his podcast regularly. If you check him out, make sure you bear in mind he's a Q dude. He takes all that Q stuff a lot more seriously than I would. And he is a devoted Trumpologist. I am and continue to be a devoted Trump for POTUS supporter. But I'm not unwilling to call him out if I think there's something to be concerned about. And as I was about to say earlier, if Trump had not made this recent truth post about his take on what happened in the 2022 midterm that as his reason that deflated the red wave, I'd probably be a whole lot more inclined to accept X-22's explanation for why he supports McCarthy. Dave thinks Trump is positioning McCarthy and the establishment gophers for ultimate exposure. He thinks this serves to put on public display the disparity, the sharp divide within the Republican Party between the establishment gophers and the MAGA Republicans. I'll add that Trump is a pragmatist at heart and probably calculated that the chance is good that the party is not ready to make a clean break from the establishment just yet. He figured that after whatever battles went on, ultimately the storm would settle and it would be a return to status quo. The idea is, I think, he figures, this would be the best way to position McCarthy to be most favorable to what really needs to be done than anything else that could be tried. I'm inclined to agree with that. This will at the very least serve notice on all establishment Republicans because, you know, that the calls coming in from constituents were overwhelmingly against McCarthy. So this entire exercise, short of the red wave that was needed to avoid having to do this in the first place, the exercise certainly heightens expectations for McCarthy to gavel favorably for the Patriot cause when it is absolutely certain he would not have done so otherwise. However, Trump lately posted a truth on his social media platform, leaving the impression that he believes the blame for the red wave deflation was on pro-life voters or pro-life candidates who refused to accept his position on that issue. You know, Trump believes abortion is acceptable for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. He reminds us that this was Ronald Reagan's position on the issue, and he's right about that. And I remember speaking to this in my pulpit back then, explaining that such a position undermines the entire premise of our objection to abortion. If abortion is wrong because it involves the murder of an unborn human being, then please explain to me what makes it okay to kill that baby because its father was a rapist or a pervert that took advantage of the child, who themselves should be the ones to pay the price and be taken out of this world. The issue of abortion hinges entirely upon one thing only. Is the baby in the womb a human being? Psalm 139 would tell you that it is. The story of John the Baptist leaping in the womb of his mother when she met Mary, the mother of Jesus, when he was in her womb, that tells you all you need to know. Current science allows us to see the baby in the womb, to hear its heartbeat, to count its toes, for heaven's sake, to watch it suckle its little thumb. It's a baby, and a civilized people would not murder babies for anyone's convenience. But it might surprise you that this is not the element in that story that troubles me about Trump in the context that I speak to right now. I mean, it does, obviously. I just made it clear. And I've always known this was Trump's position, though. And every time it comes up, I speak against it. I did not agree with it when Reagan said it. Or on the illegal alien issue, by the way, with regard to Reagan. Trump's better than Reagan on that. Some of these things. When I read Trump's statement on this, I spoke out on the issue and said exactly what I've laid out here on response to his truth, all right? But with regard to my present topic, what bothered me is that Trump did not blame the cursed Dominion machines, the follies of McCarthy. He did blame McConnell for how he spent GOP campaign dollars, but only as a side note, he blamed pro-life candidates who believe abortion stops a beating heart, who believes abortion murders babies, whether the father's a rapist or not. As far as I'm concerned, that was a cheap shot at people of conscience whose conscience, by the way, in this matter, is much better instructed than his. I still don't know what happened in the House today regarding the gavel battle, but I do know that whatever happened there, the battle with the gavel will commence soon. So pray. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. I fixed the contact button thing to give you a path to get to me by email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline at 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
For many years, Satan had Christians deceived into believing they were not supposed to speak up on social or political issues. We bought the lie that we had no say, that the world belonged to Satan, and that we had no right to impose our morality onto others. This ruse worked so well that today the secularists impose their morality on all of us. Christians are being systematically pushed to the sidelines and denied their divinely endowed inalienable rights. This book exposes Satan's lies and shows the truth that the earth belongs to Jesus Christ, not Satan. In fact, Satan has no legitimate right to rule the earth. It belongs to the King, and his name is Jesus.